Many of you my age might remember back in elementary school, whether you went to Catholic school or catechism, we used to sing the songs that were written by the then Father Cary Landry from the High God album. It was kind of a thing that we did back in the 70s and early 80s. One of the High God songs I remember was called Great Things Happen When God Mixes With Man. Kind of a very catchy tune, but it makes a lot of sense. You know, and the song says that great things happen when God mixes with us. Some find peace, some find joy, some people even find love. Some see things as they never did before, and some people find they could now even begin to change. Now, you take those words and you apply it to the Eucharist, and that's absolutely true. You know, in the gospel passage that we have, Jesus is giving a foreshadowing of the Eucharist, and that he's feeding 5,000 plus people, and he's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Well, that's not an insignificant number. The number 7 in Scripture is always seen as the number of perfection. How does God bring us to spiritual perfection? It's by grace. Grace he gives us through the sacraments. We have 7 sacraments altogether. 6 of them come from Christ. 1 of them is Christ, and that would be the Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist itself. So here you have Jesus who calls himself the bread of life, right? And he's taking 5 loaves of bread. Christ calls fishermen as his first apostles and tells us to be fishers of men. He's got 2 fish. Interestingly enough, the Greek word for fish, ichthos, gives us a little, what do you call it? Oh, the word escapes me. But you know, use the letters of the word ichthos that means Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, a symbol of Christianity. But 2 fish symbolizing the blood and water that would flow from the side of Christ, thus giving us what? Baptism in the Eucharist. Christ being both God and man, humanity and divinity come together. And this is what you see in the bread of life. Here you have bread that Jesus in this miracle takes, blesses, and breaks and gives. And at the Last Supper, it's the very same thing where Jesus takes the bread, blesses it, and gives it to the apostles saying, take and eat, this is my body which is given up for you. Christ, the bread of life, who gives himself up to us for our salvation. And in the Eucharist, what does God do? God mixes with man. God comes to us in the form of bread and wine. We consume him. He lives in us. We live in him. And we are here together. And marvelous things can happen if we allow God's grace to work in us and through us. Now notice that God doesn't do things just on his own initiative without our consent to make good things happen. He wants us to exercise our free will and to use that will to accept his grace and do good things with that. We see that primarily in the beautiful example, that's a beautiful example, in the incarnation of Jesus at the time of the Annunciation. So here you've got the angel Gabriel coming to the Virgin Mary, telling her that she had been chosen by God from all ages to be the mother of his son, the Messiah. And Mary has to answer, giving her consent. And she says, I am the Lord's servant, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. The angel left and departed from her. In that moment, Christ, the eternal God, the eternal word, who is God from God and light from light, the Son always with the Father, becomes incarnate. He becomes a man. He does this to be able to preach and teach, to suffer and die and rise for our salvation. But that happened because Mary gave her consent, and she gave her own flesh and blood to be united to the Word, the eternal Word, and the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us to make great things happen. God and us together can cause wonderful things if we allow God to do his work. Notice that the Scriptures speak about God feeding his people. God does not magically feed us. He's not magic. He's not some kind of a wizard. He's God. He's love. So God creates all things. God creates everything that we have out of love, all things that we need. But you notice how we still have to, for example, plant seeds. We still have to harvest the plants that are grown from those seeds. We have to gather all that together. We have to process it. God provides the animals. We have to hunt the animals or raise the animals and slaughter them in order for us to survive. In the very beginning, God said to Adam, after they committed the original sin, by the sweat of your face shall you eat bread until you return to the ground. It's a curse, but it's also a blessing. because our human labor then becomes united with God's own labor for our own good. By the sweat of your face shall you eat bread until you return to the ground. And St. Paul echoes that by saying, the one who does not work should not eat either. The one who will not work should not eat. We realize that sometimes there'll be more than enough. Sometimes it's not enough. Sometimes nature cooperates. Sometimes nature does not. But the scriptures do say that God will not let his faithful ones starve. God will not let his faithful ones starve, either spiritually or physically. I'll give you an example. How many times have you might have heard from your grandparents or great-grandparents, as I have, the stories of the past, and they recollect their memories of days gone by when people in our area were extremely, extremely poor. They oftentimes had hardly any money, no education to speak of. There was no electricity or running water in their homes. They had to go barefoot most of the time, even to school, to preserve what little shoes they did have they could afford. But yet, in spite of all this poverty, they still had faith. They went to Mass. They prayed. God was the very center. They had faith. They had hope. They had determination, kindness, generosity, and love. Things that are almost absent from society today. But these people with little material possessions had a deep faith, and from that faith came hope and determination. They never gave up. They were kind to one another, they were generous with the little that they had, and they loved. They loved God and one another, and they had enough to eat at the same time. They never went without and never went hungry, totally hungry. They worked hard, no doubt. They worked hard, but they also believed and they prayed even harder. Going to Mass wasn't as easy for them as it is for us. We simply get in the car, turn on the ignition, and away we go. But think about this, 70 to 80 years ago, having to get up before the sun. You have to feed the horses or the mules. Then you have to gear them up and hitch them up to the buggy, to the wagon. Then to get yourself ready for Mass, you had to pump water out of the pump to wash up. And there was no eating or drinking, by the way, from midnight on. That was the old Eucharistic fast, that you couldn't eat or drink from midnight until after communion. Nowadays, it's just 1 hour before communion. Back in those days, it was from midnight on. But yet they did this because they loved God and they endured these things. So poor in material or worldly things, they were rich in spiritual and heavenly things. And if you talk to any older people, they will say that certainly they were more at peace with it and that people were generally happier then than people are today. More than present times, our ancestors in the past respected God. They respected the church. They respected the law. They respected one another. Neighbor helped neighbor whenever there was a need. Parents actually acted like parents and not like children. And their children respected their parents' authority because their parents acted like adults. People looked out for one another. And it appears that their values and their priorities were correctly in place, more so than today. What are we missing today that people had in former days? As I mentioned, faith. A very strong family structure. They had lives of prayer. They believed in hard work. They also believed in loyalty and respect, honor, duty, and helpfulness. Things that we don't really have in modern society. And I'll repeat those again. A deep and abiding faith, a strong family structure, a life of prayer and hard work, loyalty to God and to one another, to their community, respect. They had a sense of honor and duty, and they were helpful. Virtues that are so divine, but yet so human, that are laughed at by so many people today, but yet are needed more than ever. So again, God, by his grace, supplies us with everything that we need, but you and I must provide the action to make this world a place where God is glorified, and that we take care of one another as well as take care of ourselves. As Christians, we realize there can be no place in our lives for any self-centeredness. There can be no place for any pride, any greed, any lust. There can certainly be no place for laziness or apathy. In the beginning, God gave us paradise, but we decided to forego that, and then we created hell because of our own sinfulness. We wanted what we want, not what God wants, and there hell is created. But God in His mercy and His love will restore us to grace. God restores us to grace, and now it's up to you and me with that grace to build up a kingdom of justice, a kingdom of love, a kingdom of peace. Christ Jesus fed the 5,000 with 7 loaves, but He needed somebody to give Him the bread and the fish. Christ gives us the sacraments, but He also needs us to provide the faith and the elements of bread and wine, water, oil, ourselves, that those sacraments can be celebrated and become effective. Yes, we go through times of trial and temptation. We fall to human weakness. But as St. Paul reminds us, the love of Christ is always there. The love of Christ is always there, calling us back to repentance, calling us to fidelity, calling us to loyalty to Him. So no, God is not magic. God is not magic, but He is gracious and He is merciful. God doesn't love our sins, but He is slow to anger and He is quick to forgive if we ask Him. God is certainly good to all of us. He is compassionate to all of His creatures. And so we look to Him with hope because of that. God will give us exactly what we need, exactly when we truly need it. He opens up His hands and He satisfies our deepest need, and that is the deepest need that we have for Himself, for His love, His grace, His mercy. God is just. He is fair in all of His ways. He's holy in all of His works. God is near to everyone who calls upon Him in sincerity and in truth. Truly, we do not live on bread alone, but we live on every word that comes from His mouth. We live on the Word made flesh, who gives Himself in the Eucharist. And when God mixes with man, we see great and wonderful things truly happen.